Gospel of John, chapter 12. And perhaps we can have a word of prayer. No, I said it slow so you could sit down. I could have said it fast, but I said it slow. Our Father and God, we thank you again for your presence, your word. God, deal with us. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we're coming to the last hour, literally, in the upper room before he goes out to the garden that night, and to the trials, and then to the cross. Now, in the light of that, we have chapter 12. Remember now, our Lord, this is the last message he brings to a multitude, to the people. After this, there's no more. All of it is individuals, upper room, no more to the crowd. And he says, he sums up that which is the whole ministry that he's been seeking to communicate. And so we share together in chapter 12, and picking up, if I can, in verse 44. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me." It isn't me, it's the Father. And verse 45, "He that seeth me seeth him that sent me." You don't see me, you see the Father. "I am the light." Verse 46, "I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth in me," on me, "should not abide in darkness." So I'm the light. Light is given to make sight possible. I am here to help you see God, to see the invisible God, to be able to see, like Moses in that. He saw him who is invisible. Now, so God, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his perfect humanity, has come to give us a way to come to grips with God. He is light, again, so that we might see God, know God. Now, in the light of that, then we come to verse 47. "And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." So now, looking at it all, God is doing what he's doing in a most wonderful way, and people are to realize and awaken to the fact that God is who he is, doing what he's doing, and he expects people to know who he is. And you remember now, he said, "Do you know?" Remember, he say it a different way. He said, as we shared a while back, "I am that I am, and I am the bread of life, the water of life, I am the resurrection and the life. I am all of these things. I am." Moses said, "Who shall I say sent me? I am that I am." So it's all about you, God. That's right. To come to grips with the Creator, not with the creation, but with the Creator. And thus the Lord would say in Matthew 16, "And who do you say I am?" He said, "Who do men say I am?" Well, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? And in John 6, you can turn that, you're right here. Hold your finger there. John 6, he did it again. And he asked the disciples, "Are you going to leave? What are you going to do?" And they said, verse 67, 6, 67. "Then said Jesus unto them," to the 12, "Will you go away? Are you going to go away like the rest of the crowd?" "No." Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." So God, where are we going to go to hear words that you say that are life-giving? Where are we going to go? Verse 69, "And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." We know, do you know who I am? We need to hear the words to get to the person to understand. John chapter 6, where you hear, to tie that together, over if you would, in verse 663. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, giveth life. The flesh profits nothing. The word that I speak unto you, the word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. These words are full of life. They're pregnant, full of life. They're all about living, all about making things happen. Now, back over to John chapter 12. And verse 47. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Now, in the light of, if and it may and may not be, if any man is hearing me and they may not. So now you're talking about a hearing. There's different kinds of hearing. There's a Hebrew word. And to be an ear witness. Your ear, as it were, stretches out and reaches to where it's going. To hear. To be an ear witness. There's also hearing without anything going past that. Over to Matthew chapter 13. He said, Now remember, what you're looking at, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Now, so the words that are here, people hear the words. Chapter 12 of Matthew, as you know, or 13 better, well, 13, 7, even 7. Matthew chapter 7. And picking up, it's hearing words like now. We're hearing words, communication. Chapter 7, a word, verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, N-O-T, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. So hearing, you heard, but it didn't do you much good to hear. Now to chapter 13. And our Lord will say, as you know, verse 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Are you going to be hearing? And then he slides down all the way through the whole section to tell him, verse 13. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Verse 14, the middle. By hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. Again, verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are heavy, are dull of hearing, heavy, and their eyes have they closed, lest they at any time should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand and be converted, and I should heal them. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Hearing, I want you to hear. And then if you took time to read, remember now, verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. You're going to tell us something that will help us. And then you're going to read, verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. And then as you go down, verse 20, you're going to read, he that heareth the word, and you're going to slide down again to verse 22, and hear the word, verse 23, about he that receiveth seed. Each time they hear, but it doesn't go anywhere. Verse 23, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. So hearing. Now you can hear and not hear at all. People could hear a whole message, read a whole book, do a whole thing, and never get any of it, never catch it. That's right. Back over, if you would, to John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, and you will note, verse 47, if any man may or may not hear my words, and believe not, they don't believe, they don't want to believe. I judge them not. Well, you aren't going to judge them. No. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. So I'm not going to judge them. No, not at all. Not going to do that. Nope. I'm just giving out the message, the light. I'm the light in the world. The light is to shine and so to see God. That's what it's to do. So I am judging not. Now, John chapter 3, a little ahead here, but John chapter 3, verse 17. I didn't come to judge the world. Now, and verse chapter 3, verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's right. He came as a light. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He came as a light. That's why God came. And he didn't come to condemn. He came to save. Now, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Not condemned, not judged. But he that believeth not, doesn't believe, is condemned, judged already. Why is that? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So he's already. Now, I didn't come to judge the world, he said. I came to save it. People are already condemned if they don't believe. They need to believe. They're already dead in sins. They need to be made alive. They're already unbelieving. They need to believe. They need to put their belief in the right place. Put your belief in the, put your belief in some bit of information, like we shared, bus is going to leave at 10 o'clock from Middletown, and you get there at 9:30 and find the bus left at 8:30. Well, you were very sincere, very with it. You just had the wrong information, but you believed honestly all the way till you got to the bus station. It wasn't that you weren't believing. It's you just weren't believing the right person, the right information. God said you need to believe. Whosoever believeth on me, not on anyone else, not on anything else, on who I am. That's why it's so important. Do you understand who I am? Because that's where your belief is going. We aren't just another person, another thing, another way to do something. No, you need to know who I am. I am the light in order for you to get right with the Father, and I'm the light for you to see and know God. Now, in the light of that, chapter 5, and in chapter 5, picking up in verse 34. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. I don't need anyone to tell me who I am. I am telling you who I am so that you can be saved. I don't need anyone to tell me, said the Lord, who I am. I know who I am. You need to know who I am. I'm here to save you. Now, and in verse 45 of the same chapter, do not think that I will accuse you to my Father, to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Now you know that. Almost we're going to have you do it, so you lock it in, hold your finger here, and go over to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 24. The Gospel of Luke and chapter 24. And you are reminded, we are reminded, may I go directly, chapter 24, picking up, if I may, in verse 27. And beginning, our Lord speaking after his resurrection to the disciples on the Emmaus Road, verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Verse 44. He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms, underlined, concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. It's about you, God. That's right. It isn't about giving you some information about some pyramid in Egypt. It's about knowing God. That's what it's about. And if you seek God with all your heart, you're going to find him. And so I'm seeking God. I opened the only book in all the world and all of forever that tells about God. So there's no question about that. One Bible, one book, only one in all of forever. So God, I'm seeking you with all my heart. So if I'm going to seek you, and then you've given us your word in order for us to find you. Now, understand you. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, and verse 47 of the same chapter, chapter 5, verse 40. But if you believe not his writing, how shall you believe my words? In other words, he gave you Genesis to Deuteronomy. Did you guys ever read it? Do you know who it's about? It's about me. Didn't you ever read it? And if you don't want to believe him, and it's all about me, then you aren't going to believe me because it's all about him. It's all about Moses writes all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about him. So if you don't believe what Moses wrote, I should say, clearly, then you aren't going to know me. And you reject Moses, then you reject me. You don't believe his words. Now, back over to chapter 12. And in chapter 12, in verse 47, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. So I didn't come, the world's already condemned already, and so I'm here to save it. That's what I want. I want to communicate the saving grace of God that they might be saved. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that to happen. And I'm not here to judge. Chapter 5 again, hold your finger. I'm not here to judge, but you want to keep that very clear. He's a light to show God to save. Now you don't. That's to save you. That's what he's doing in the time of grace. But judgment. Chapter 5, and in verse 22. For as the Father hath judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Now, verse 27. And hath given him, God, the Father, hath given him authority to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of Man. I didn't come to judge, I came to save. Now if you hear me and see me and understand, be saved. Tomorrow you're going to stand before me and I am your judge. God said, I am the judge, God. I am the Savior. Now if you remember, think of Isaiah chapter 1. I want you to settle out of court. I don't want you to go to the court with me. There's no jury, and I'm the judge, and my judgment is forever, final. You don't want to take me to court. I want to settle the case outside of the court. Believe on me now, because without my robe, as it were, I'm here to save you. But when my robe comes back on, I am the judge of all judges. Acts 17:31. Acts 17:31. People say, well, see, he isn't going to judge. Wrong. That's wrong, wrong, wrong. He is going to judge. He just isn't judging now. That's what people get upset about sometimes. God, why didn't you judge that person or judge this thing or fix this? It isn't now. Right now, I'm just being gracious and merciful and seeking to get whosoever will to be saved. That's what I'm doing. I'm not out here to clobber everybody. I'm just to give you space to get saved. And Acts 17, verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. How? By that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given us assurance that all men, unto all men, that is, that are you the, who, do we know the judge? Absolutely. The one who said, I am that I am, the resurrection and the life, he's the judge. And by the way, you'll know he's the judge and no other. He's the only one that has risen again from the grave. And that's the man that would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Otherwise, you're going to stand before him and he is the man that will judge you. Now hang on to that. And again, verse 31, just, and ordained that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. No question. Now, the Son of God risen again from the grave. John chapter 12. And in verse 48, John 12, 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now, he that is rejecting me, rejecting means to have no place for the person, have nothing, to be despised. He rejects, in other words, totally despise, reject, leave out. He's nothing to me. He that rejecteth me, you, God, in Christ, mean nothing to me. Verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not and doesn't receive My words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now, God already, we looked at in John 5, that Moses' words, the Jews had them, they were busy quoting them and dealing with them all the time, but they didn't believe. They didn't believe the scriptures, Genesis to Deuteronomy, were all about him. And they couldn't find God, didn't get to God, didn't seek God with all their heart, and thus they didn't find him. So they had all the scriptures and all the words. And John 5, those words will condemn you. It isn't, you can't say, well, I didn't know. I didn't understand. Wrong. You did know. You quote it, but you don't believe. What's it all about? It's about me. That's why it must imperative. I am the whole Bible. It isn't about us. It isn't about the world. It's about him. You got to get to him. Without him, none of it is going to come out. You got to get to the God who puts this all together for us. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, the word that I have spoken this word. Now remember in John chapter 1, the word became, well, we'll do it. Take a look. You're right next door. And just lock it in. That's how you started. In God's last revelation, by the way of gospel, good news of who he is. John chapter 1, and in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God, the Son, is the Word of God. Hang on to that. God the Father, God the Son, Son, Father, Son. What's a Son do? A Son reflects the source, Father, Father. That's what a Son does, points to the Father. Wow. He's the Word. God, you're the Word. That's right. And thus, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh, became born in Bethlehem of Judea, and dwelt among us. Aha, that's right. I am the Word. I am the Word. The words that I have spoken. Now, so God, you're the Word. And everything that you said, everything that he said, and very clearly, wonderfully, he said, all that I say, all that I do is of the Father. I don't represent me. I represent my Father. Therefore, his word, his will, his ways, his works, I represent them. So when you see me, we just read it in John chapter 12 and in verse 45, he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. It's all about God. That's right. Everything goes back to the centerpiece, to God himself. Now, having said that, the same shall judge him in the last day. God, the Word, is going to judge you. God said the Word is going to judge you in that last day. Verse 49. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment that what I should say and what I should speak. So all of that I have done is illustrate that I'm the light. The light is to find God. Look at me, the light, and you'll find God, the Father. That's right. Over to John chapter 5, just to exercise it for our refreshment. John chapter 5, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 30. I can of my own self. Well, I even read before, you know all these things, but I just want to drive home the nail to the target. 5 and 19. Then answered, remember verse 18, their complaint, you make yourself equal with God the Father, which is correct. Verse 19, clarification. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing, as I hear I judge, and my judgment is just. Why? Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. It's the Word, the words and works of my Father. So I'm not here to do it. I'm here just to show you the Father, his Word and works that you are responsible for. Over to verse 37. I'll even go up to verse 35. John the Baptist, 5:35. He was a burning and a shining light, and we were willing not a season to rejoice in his light. The John the Baptist was a light to point to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 36. But I have greater witness than that of John the Baptist, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Verse 38. And you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him that you believe not. You're not believing him. He testified, and you aren't believing. You aren't believing. You should be believing. No question. No question about it. Chapter 14 on your way back. Chapter 14, directly. And in verse 10, in the light of the context, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. So all the words came from the Father. That's right. When you reject my words, you reject God the Father. When you reject God the Father, boy, are you in trouble. Because he's the creator. He's the only God. And you deny him that he's able to say something clearly, simply, to understand. He wants you to understand. And you reject those words. And that's no good. Verse 10 again. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Sliding up to verse 7 again. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth you know him and have seen him. Verse 9. Have I been so long time with you, yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me also hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? So here we are looking, God, and you're doing all of this, over to chapter 12, next door. In chapter 12 and verse 49. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. So we know everything he said and did was to reflect God the Father. And verse 50, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. I know that. I know that his words are life everlasting. Therefore, whatsoever therefore I speak therefore, even as the Father has said unto me, so I speak. I have accurately as a herald, if you use our language, and humans, I speak directly, flawlessly. Flawlessly. I give exactly what God is saying, what God intends to say, and I need to hear that and know that. So God, you have given eternal life. That's right. Over to John 3 again. Verse 15. That whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 5, you know, I'm just repeating them again. Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. No. But it's passed from death unto life. God, you did all of these wonderful things, and you do it for your great name's sake. That's right. All that I'm doing is for my wonderful name and honor. Now, in the light of that, if you would, over, if you would, go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. God hears the word. We have your word. Now, what do we do with it? Well, it's to help me know, help me understand. Do you know if you had a piece of equipment, and a very complicated piece of equipment that someone did, and you had all kinds of things in it, then it would be very helpful if you had a document, a piece of paper that said what the buttons mean, what things mean, what they do, the frequency of doing it. You hit this button, wait 10 seconds, hit that button, wait 3 seconds, and then hit that, and it'll work. I have a thing that did that, you know. Now, how would I ever know that? I could just push buttons forever, and nothing would ever work. I needed help. God, you've given us your word. That's right. You've given us your word to help us so we aren't stupid about everything. Stupid about God. Stupid about religion. Religion's Psalm 119. The Hebrew alphabet. And you will notice, please, may I go to the second letter, Beth, verse 9. 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto. What? How? According to thy word. Verse 11, verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Lord, you honored, what did you say? You, as perfect man, you honored God perfectly. You kept his word, his commandments. God said, this is what I want to say. This is what I want to do. And you did them. Mm-hmm. Verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So God, you've given us your word, so that we can understand. And with our whole heart, we seek you. And you've given us the word to get to you. They're all written. It's all written about you to get to know you rightly. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, if you would, over to Psalm 138. You're right here. Psalm 138. And you will know, please, if I may, picking up all in verse 1. David, going to help us. 138:1. I will praise thee with my whole heart before the gods. Will I sing praise unto thee? I will worship toward thy holy temple, Jerusalem, and praise thy name. Why? For thy loving kindness, reason. I'm going to honor you, God, for your loving kindness. I'm going to honor you for thy truth. You are the God of truth, giving the truth of God. That's right. For the reason I'm going to do this is because, reason I'm going to do it, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. You have gone and magnified thy word, you've caused it to be exalted, lifted up above all thy name. You've caused thy word above. And the answers, the little word answers the question, where? Above all thy name. Thus, God, what did you do? God, you so honor your words, your word, so that it brings forth all of your marvelous name, who you are. And we just read in Luke, all over the place, John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they speak of me. God said, listen, my word is all about me. When you read my word, here I am. I have lifted up my word above my name. Why? Because my word opens and it's like the light. Thy word is a lamp under my feet, a light under my path. It lifts up who you are, God. How could I understand God? His omniscience, his all-knowing, all-power, ever-present. How could I ever come to grips with your righteousness, holiness, justice? You're a wonderful person, God. How you act, how you do things. I couldn't without your word. It's your word that helps me understand. I have lifted up my word above all my name. My word will judge you in that day. My word. I gave you my word. I won't have to judge you. My word will. I told you who I am, and you did not believe. you would not believe. I judge you. Wow. Now, and in the light of that, that's an awesome thing, isn't it? Now, and David, I don't want to leave you because you said all of that one, and it means, what is, how does it work? Well, verse 8, it's personal. The Lord, I know the Lord, you honor his word, to believe and honor. Verse 8, the Lord will perfect, to complete, to accomplish. The Lord will perfect, complete, accomplish, perfect that which concerns that which concerns on behalf of, for the sake of me. God, you gave your word. Your word lifts up your marvelous person. And I know, God, that you are going to go and accomplish everything that concerns little old me in your mercy and in your grace. Verse 8, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thy hand, and God, I'm one of them. That's pretty good. Wow. Oh, God, they gave you a word. Bible. What's the Bible? Here's the Bible. Now, over, please, in your Bible, over, if you can, to Luke chapter 1. Luke in chapter 1. And in Luke chapter 1, you would recall that in the Elizabeth had the John the Baptist, and she was going to have John the Baptist. And 6 months later, Mary would have the Lord Jesus. Now, thereabouts. Now, so in the process, in verse 36, 1:36 of Luke, behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. 6 months, a difference, I should say. Now, verse 37. For with God, his Elizabeth, you're too old. Oh, that's true. You're too old. Nothing can happen. Wrong. For with God, do you see the word nothing? That is the word word, W-O-R-D, a word, a matter, anything, word, matter, anything, a word. For with God, nothing, no word, no matter, no thing, nothing, there's nothing impossible with God. For God, there's nothing impossible. He gives his word. He honors his word. And thus, Elizabeth, you're going to have the John the Baptist, you're too old, but it's going to happen, and it is happening. And by the way, Mary, you're too young. You're too young. But by the way, Mary, did you get the message from Elizabeth? Do you understand what's happening to Elizabeth? She's too old. But there it is. And here you are, too young, not even married. Aha. Verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to what? Thy word. According to your word, be it unto me. Thy word. And the angel departed from her. Well, Mary, God said, listen, you said it, God. Do it. You said it. Do it. How's that? Your word. You honor your word. My word will judge you in that day. If you didn't believe, it will judge you. In closing, over if you would, please. to 2 Corinthians. And in chapter 1, may I go directly to verse 20? You know it from our Corinthians study. For all the promises, A-L-L, all the promises of God in Him, in Christ, are yea, yes, and in Him, amen, so be it, unto the glory of God by us. We are to be the demonstrators, the witnesses of His Word. God honors His Word. That's how you got saved, isn't it? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's how you got saved. You believed His Word. And you trust Him. All things work together for good. And you believe. That's why you go down. Because you believe. My word. That's right. Yeah. All the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. So God, you said, to understand that you aren't here to judge. You're here to show grace and mercy. But, by the way, your word, the inspired word of your word, the very words, why are they so awesome? Like John 6:63, like we read, they're full of life. That's right. Because they came out of whose mouth? God's. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. The words that I speak are God-breathed. Where did they come from? You, God. See? I don't believe, but that's up to you. But your word, my word, will judge you. When it comes time, I'm going to hold you accountable. I gave my word. I honor my word in your life. God, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I don't want to violate and make you like a human. You aren't like a human. You aren't like us. You honor your word. Wow. Our Father in God, deal with us according to your grace and your mercy. And our God, we're going to thank you very much for what you do and how you do and when you do. And our Father, we're going to look to you. So deal with us. God, we have your word, God. We don't want it any other way. We thank you for your written word and your written word to be written in our heart. That our God, that we would be able to carry it and practice and put to practice all of the wonderful information, all of the wonderful truth about who you are and what you're like. So thank you very much for loving and caring, and God, what can we say? Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Perhaps we could sing, please, a stanza 546.